Okay, we are back here. This is Petey Pete, and we are live from the Catskill Studio in beautiful Catskill. And I have some special guests today. We have Julianne Bauman and Adam O'Brien and Claudia Coonan that are here with a program from Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties, the REACH program. But we have a lot of things to discuss today, and I first wanted to thank you guys for taking the time out of your busy schedules to come in here. This is much appreciated, especially in the conditions outside right now. It's not so pleasant, but you guys trudged through the snow and came in, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Pete.
And I wanted to, if you could, go through and introduce yourselves and maybe give us how you got started or how long you've been associated with doing the work that you're doing now.
Okay, I can start. So my name is Julianne Bauman, and I am the program director of the REACH Center, which is one of the programs of the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties. I've been with the agency for over 7 years. Prior to that, I worked in mental health in Albany County as well as in Green County. I have my master's in social work, so I'm also a clinician, and I go out and do training and outreach in the community as well.
Okay, nice. And Adam?
Yes, my name is Adam O'Brien, and I am a licensed mental health counselor and a CASAC, which is a credentialed alcohol and substance abuse counselor. I've been in the field for, licensed in the field for 2 years, and been working with substance abuse clients for 3-4 years, and got to this work later on, after I got my master's, later on in life. Really appreciate the work, and been doing it for about 5 years. So,
okay. And Claudia.
Hi, I'm Claudia Coonan, and I am a bereavement counselor. I'm certified in grief and thanatology, which is the study of death, dying, and bereavement. And I work with people who are suffering with loss, mostly with related to somebody dying, but sometimes loss over a change in life or job loss or other things. So the work that I do is appropriate for the REACH Center. Some of my clients are do have death in their lives as well, so they're coming to me, but they also might have other things that they're suffering from. So right. I've been with the REACH Center since October, so I just started.
Okay, good. Okay, Julianne, if you could just maybe give us a synopsis of what you're associated with or what you offer. We had a brief discussion on this, and I have done a little research on this, but if you could maybe give us an overview of what you have going on and what you offer and what you're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely, Peter. So the REACH Center provides services to any victim of crime or abuse in Columbia and Greene counties. We work with people who've experienced interpersonal crime, and we also work with anyone who's exposed or endangered due to our clients to medical appointments and other agencies in the community, and we will go with them, to help bridge that gap and act as a liaison while therapists on staff full-time to provide trauma therapy and different forms of therapy. And everyone at our agency is an advocate, and advocates are available to accompany the people we work with to legal appointments, law enforcement, court. We also link our clients to medical appointments and other agencies in the community, and we will go with them, to help bridge that gap and act as a liaison while performing, counseling and therapy. We work with any victim of crime. It can be a past victimization, so we work with a lot of adults who have a history of abuse as a child. We also work with anyone who has been a victim of a crime, regardless if they reported that crime or not.
Right.
And we work closely with their families to help enhance the support outside of, the REACH Center in the community. So we'll work with children of crime victims. We'll work with loved ones to help educate and support the process of healing. And as I said, even though we work with people who don't have to report the crime, we do work very closely with law enforcement. So if someone wants information or guidance, we can take them through that step from the beginning all the way through to the end. And we also have a program through the Office of Victim Services. We help anyone with the Crime Victims Compensation Application Process, which is a New York State-based program which offers different types of compensation to crime victims. anything from paying for transportation or mileage to paying for counseling or lost wages through work due to court appearances. I just want to point out that all our services are free to anyone in Columbia and Greene counties. And we work with all ages. We work with children through adults, from preschool age children to adolescents, teenagers, and adults through the elderly. We don't discriminate in any form. You know, we work with anyone. We're also very present in the community. So though we have various locations in Columbia and Greene counties, we also do go out to schools and to other agencies and are co-located in the area, so that I know transportation could be an issue in this community, mm-hmm. To ensure that anyone in need of our services can access them.
Okay.
In the meantime, I can tell you our 24-hour hotline number in Catskill is 518-943-4482. In Columbia counties, it's 518-828-5556. And that hotline is 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Okay. Did you need to take off, did you say, or were you still sticking around with the...
I can stick around for a few more moments, but I did want to... One of the reasons we're here today is talk about a specific program that we have up and running in our community, and that is a group called Seeking Safety. And with me today is Adam and Claudia, who introduced themselves earlier, to talk more specifically about that program.
Right. The REACH program... The Columbia and Greene County's Mental Health Association started out as a different name, and you guys have changed over the years. Let's see, for the mental health, from 1958 to 1980, volunteer board members provided community education visits to patients at the Hudson River Psychiatric Center and helped in planning. In 1981, you began the first direct care services, which is now the PROS program.
Yes.
Am I correct at that? And then over the years, you added programs and services driven by the community and the major providers of mental health prevention and support services. And then in 2010, the REACH Center, which is what we're going to talk about now, a provider service of those affected by domestic violence and sexual assault, became part of your organization.
Yes.
Of mental health. Okay. So with that being said, Adam and Claudia, you both are affiliated with the REACH program, and if you could maybe take it over from here and discuss some issues that you deal with and maybe the services provided.
Yes. I'm going to let Adam start to talk about our program, this group that's running called Seeking Safety.
Great. Thank you. Seeking Safety was a group that was presented first by Lisa Najadovitz. In 2002, she published a book called Seeking Safety, and it is specifically for people who have experienced trauma and substance abuse as a co-occurring disorder. And so we, as an agency, Julianne had that lined up for us to be able to have a group to present to the community. And I came on board about... in May of last year, and we got trained in that, and everybody in our program is able to facilitate that. And with our expertise, Claudia and I, we have been spearheading it, at least in Columbia County. We have the group is on Monday nights from 5 to 6 o'clock at the Mental Health Association in Hudson, and it at 713 Union Street. And, yeah, we're looking to get more people involved and let people know in the community that we are there. It's an evidence-based treatment, which basically means that it's been researched to be able to go across a wide variety of populations and community members and stuff like that. So that's about what I can think of.
Yeah. So the group is Seeking Safety provides coping skills and focuses on resilience and commitments to trying to make your life better when you've been suffering from addiction, loss, and PTSD. You could have all of those things co-occurring, or you could have one of those things that's really presenting. So it's not necessary that you be a recovering addict or you be suffering where maybe you just have PTSD, or maybe you're dealing with loss, or you're dealing with all a variety of three of those things. But the group is very, very positive. The skills that we talk about have to do with really focusing on what's working in your life, how can you make it better, we look back a week, what were your positive coping skills this past week, what did anything negative happen, and what are you going to do about that, and, were there community resources that you were using, and we really reinforce the person's own resilience and skills to help them, make their lives better.
Right. So what are some of the, do you deal with psychotherapy approaches with this, or?
Well, Seeking Safety, and as a group, it's grounded in psychotherapy as an evidence-based program, but it's really more focused on daily life and positive coping skills. The Reach Center does provide psychotherapeutic counseling.
Okay. And I'm sure you deal with such issues as depression and anxiety, and when you're dealing with the situations that you have to deal with. Adam, so how do you approach that when you have to deal with somebody that with a depression or anxiety or what other issues that person might be dealing with?
I think from our perspective as a agency and or program is that the trauma usually impacts people differently. So you can come out in depression, it can come out in anxiety. And so those are typical reports that we get from people, that I'm depressed or I have anxieties. And trauma and PTSD are specifically anxiety disorders. But when people can get depressed because they have anxiety and stuff like that, and their social anxieties and make them depressed. So, as a therapist, looking to see how they're coping with that, and if there is underlying things, then we help them to process that in certain ways. And I think there's different techniques that we do as a psychotherapist to do that. The Seeking Safety group particularly wants to stay present focused. And I think, as individual counselors, we try to help people on the individual level with the stuff that why might be coming up and where is it coming from, where does it stem from, the roots of where the depression and anxiety started.
Right, right. And I think it is very important to be in present moment as far as when you're dealing with trauma or loss. A lot of times, speaking for myself, I'll go back to that, I'll think about that, and it's so important to be able to bring yourself to the moment where you're able to stay in the present time instead of dwelling on the past, because dealing with the past often leads into the problems that you're facing, that keeps the problem going. And that is an essential part, I think, that people, even speaking for myself, it's hard for me sometimes to stay in the moment. A lot of times I will be thinking about what happened or dealing with a situation, which in itself, there's nothing that you can do about that situation that's already passed. Mm-hmm. And the best thing to do is to work on the present moment and deal with the best way that you can as a person to be healthy and work on the situation. You had something you wanted to say?
Well, I wanted to point out that one of the things that's different about Seeking Safety group is that the people are not coming and talking about their trauma and talking about their depression or their anxiety. They're coming to be in the present moment and to reinforce skills with which they'll use to deal with those things. To their traumas and their anxieties and their counseling, that takes place in an individual setting.
Okay.
So, but I think that's important because there are groups out there where people come and they talk about their story and they share that and then they process it in that way. But Seeking Safety is a different approach. And that's important to mention.
Julian, you want to say something?
Yes, and one of the unique services of our program is that we are able to provide a group such as Seeking Safety and also at the same time work with the same individual in that group individually to provide therapy and or counseling as well as advocacy. So while they're coming to that group, they can also be getting therapy services through our program and accompaniments if they need to go to law enforcement or a medical appointment or need to be linked to something else. So it's just one aspect of our comprehensive approach to healing from trauma.
Very interesting. When you're dealing with the law enforcement, that has to be a sticky situation at times, I'm sure. But a lot of times I think that, from what I know, when you're dealing with abuse, the abuse continues, and until you're actually able to face it and say, no, the abuse is stopping now, it can continue. And I know somebody personally that situation's happening now. You have to have the wherewithal in you to be able to face that and deal with it, and in some cases involve the law with it. What do you find with that? Do you find that, I'm sure, a very difficult situation, but do you find that in a lot of your cases that you have to somehow deal with the law?
Yes, some of the crimes that we work with have been reported to law enforcement, and some of the people we work with are deliberating as to whether they want to report that crime. So every law enforcement agency we work with in Columbia and Greene counties is very sensitive to our clients and the needs of our clients, and that's why oftentimes we will go and we can accompany a client, or law enforcement will come to one of our programs just to sit with the person, to explain the process, and then move forward from there. So it can be sticky, but when we're involved in the process, I think we do a really great job of making a smooth transition and working very closely, as I said earlier, from that very beginning of initial report through the investigative process, through prosecution, potentially, of that crime.
Right.
We have a great relationship with the district attorney's office and, like I said, every other law enforcement agency in Columbia and Greene counties.
Well, I think that's an important thing to get out to people, too, because a lot of people are a little apprehensive of getting the law involved. And the way that you described it, it is a very sensitive way that you deal with it. And so people, if they do have concerns, can also have the relief that you guys do handle it in such a way that it is able to occur, that you can deal with it in that way. So I appreciate that. What about some of the tools that you use with your approaches to dealing with trauma or loss or abuse?
Well, I think as individual counselors, I'm trained in EMDR and progressive counting, which are trauma resolution therapies. And those are typically for an individual, but they help with those memories that you were talking about earlier that keep coming up and have a way of coming up.
1 second. What's a EMDR stand for?
It's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Okay.
It is an evidence-based practice. Been around for like 35 years. And that's one of the ways that we help people to relieve the symptoms of trauma. The other way is to be able to have them be able to cope with what is coming up. So the present moment skills can be something as simple as, you know, taking a breath and, you know, naming five things in this room in some type of detail to kind of bring yourself back, and grounding skills within, you know, that, you know, the racing mind, or if you're having, you know, physical overwhelming type of feelings, how to kind of bring yourself back. I mean, the first thing is really to be able to recognize that you're in that state. You know, when we're overwhelmed, we're not recognizing that state.
Right.
But with talking about it, there more awareness rises up about it, and we have, you know, skills like that, you know, as an example, to be able to help with that.
Okay. And for you?
Well, I before I tell you about myself, I want to tell you about some of the other counselors and therapists that we have on staff.
We have
art therapists who are trauma-focused. We have people who are trained in trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy. And all of those different types of ways of working can really help our clients. For myself, I came to this work later in life. I have a master's degree in transpersonal psychology, which is sort of a holistic humanist view of psychology that says that we're a whole person is their psychology, their emotions, our community, our spirituality. All of those things make up who we are, and all of those things need to be healthy in order for us to become a healthy whole human being. And I went to a graduate program for grief counseling, and I'm certified nationally in thanatology, but my original background is in the arts and in performance. So when I have trouble in my life, I automatically go to expression, whether it be singing or dancing or drawing or quilting or writing, any kind of expressive way of getting myself through. So I use those kind of techniques with my clients. And I've developed a number of therapeutic tools that are prompts for journal writing or prompts for relaxation and grounding and meditation that are all designed to help people who are experiencing anxiety or, you know, all of the different emotions that come along with loss and trauma. So I'm applying those skills to my work with the Reach Center clients as well.
I think that is so cool, and I can relate to that in so many different ways. Being a performer, not myself being a performer, but just being a programmer, being able to express myself through my music that I play, or the conversation of the people that I bring in. And I think that that is so relevant in recovery for so many things, or dealing with life hurdles, be it dancing or singing or playing instruments. And I think that's such a vital part about us here, specifically at WGXC. We have so many artists that are programmers or that we have on the programs, and that is such a good way to deal with situations that you're facing in life. Mm-hmm. And I really give you props for that. I think that's a great way to approach it.
Yeah. So the what's really trending in mental health now is the connection between the mind and the body and the heart. And so as a dancer, you know, I've always been a very keen observer of how our emotions are expressed through our body. And now as a counselor, I can use those observational skills to work with my clients somatically. And that's also what Adam is talking about in terms of grounding, you know, when a client is really activated or, you know, upset and agitated and really feeling their trauma, sometimes asking them, not asking them to tell their story, but asking them to figure out where in their body that's being activated, and then to work through that, you know. And when I say working with movement, sometimes it can be really subtle, like simply asking somebody, you know, if you notice that their shoulders are closing in on them, maybe to ask them to really exaggerate that, and then open up and see how that changes the breath. And I know Adam does similar work, but it's called somatic work, and I'm trying to use those skills as well.
And Adam, you are a musician. We talked about that. And so do you, I mean, I think that plays in part with you then too, or?
Yeah, I mean, if a person comes to me and they have that inclination to have that form of expression, you know, whether it be through drawing or music, I'm definitely going to utilize that to make them get the work done. But yeah, I mean, you know, we translate from our personal life into our professional life. Yep. And so, you know, it comes out, and it definitely feels more natural when it is something that we're familiar with and, you know, our modality. But yeah, I definitely try to use the music experience. And, you know, it's a nonverbal. Trauma impacts us on, you know, we think of what we think about ourselves, we learn from the impact of the trauma. And then that stays in our body. And, you know, the science between the mind and the body is showing that trauma stays in our body. And it's literally the memory in our body can remember these things. Yep. And that it needs to be unlocked and released. Mm-hmm. And, you know, out of that, we do get a new sense of understanding of the world, where, you know, before it was still clouded from what we were experiencing way back when, you know. So there is the opportunity for real growth when we do have the opportunity to address our traumas and really kind of grow from them. You know, pain is from which we grow.
All right. And I know also some people think that the educational intellect is the best intellect, but as I get older, I've realized, to me, I think the emotional intellect is the most important thing that you can deal with. Mm-hmm. And in so many respects, people are having problems with that emotional intellect. It's so vital in what you deal with, how you deal with things and how you can grow. And so I think that when you're dealing with trauma or loss or addiction or abuse, all those things can stymie your emotional intellect. And I'm sure those are many things. That's very much a thing that you guys have to work on with people, that they're dealing with emotional difficulties because of the situations that either that they were put into or that they for some reason have come into. So,
well, it's like you really have to bring those things into balance. You know, we can't have the mind be the primary thing and to the detriment of the body and the emotion. We want to bring them into balance. And sometimes we're not even aware of it, but the body is the first responder. Mm-hmm. You know, then the emotions and then the mind. And the mind tries to make sense of it. So a lot of the challenges of our work is to help the client, you know, find some balance between those things. Bring it in from a transpersonal perspective. It really is finding a way to bring yourself back into wholeness, which is that balance between the mind, the body, and the emotion.
Another thing when you're dealing with addiction, or if you've been traumatized, or what we've discussed before, it isn't just an individual thing. It really does affect the family. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important thing to talk about also, especially, I guess, if you specify it and deal with addiction. It isn't just a one-person thing. It affects a whole stream of line of people that it's around. So it isn't just an addiction for the single person, but that the people surrounding them have to deal with so many issues involving addiction. And Adam, can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, in the context of the seeking safety, you know, it gives skills to be able to navigate your relationships in a healthy and sober way. So, I mean, there are skills built into the topics that are like, you know, boundary setting and, you know, how to form healthy relationships and, you know, those types of things. So you know, unfortunately, you know, when the addict is coming into treatment, not everybody is, you know, still in their lives. You know, they've burned some bridges. So it is hard to engage the family sometime. And, you know, unfortunately, it's majority of the time, I would say. But, you know, if there is a family system in play, you know, being able to access, you know, their natural resources, to be able to give them the skills, you know, they've been numb emotionally for a long time. You know, that intelligence is there, but it's not, you know, on when they're first kind of coming out of the fog of their addiction. And so, you know, the patience and education around what this is really does help people understand, because, you know, people who haven't been numb for a while are still wondering why you did this. They don't necessarily agree that it could be a disease or a medical condition, which, you know, science says that it is. But it doesn't necessarily take away from the impact that it's had on the family system. And there's a lot of resentment and hurt. And those things take time to wean out. And, you know, the services that we try to provide will kind of give a comprehensive educational opportunity to really learn what you are dealing with and the skills to be able to address it.
Okay. So that is also dealing. You do the bring in the family association with that, too? You do have family members that come into the program, or?
We've worked with families, because, I mean, it doesn't just impact one person. I would say as a program we do. And I've had some families interested in doing the group together as well.
What is some of the concerns that you feel that when you're dealing with situations as far as the programs that you have, what are some concerns that you have with the people that come in that might concern you the most as far as what problems might lead up to? I mean, there's got to be some sticky situations that you guys have to deal with as far as, the people that come into the program. What are some of the concerns that you deal with?
Well, I think, we are a crisis intervention program. So, I mean, we definitely have the crisis. We, within our agency, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties, we also have the MCAT program. And they've been recently going up for about a year now.
MCAT is
Mobile Crisis Assessment Team.
Okay. And what do they do?
They're out there in the community and, you know,
they respond.
Yeah, they respond to the houses, and they are more
really?
On the ground. You know, troops helping out, and, you know, we get referrals from them as well.
So if you get a phone call and an actual team is sent out to...
If they call the mobile crisis assessment team,
right.
Yes. We also have a 24-hour hotline that anybody can call if they feel that they're in difficulty or they have need to speak to one of our counselors. And I'm going to repeat our 24-hour hotline number.
Please.
Here in Greene County, it's 518-943-4482. And in Columbia County, it's 518-828-5556. And if it's after hours, that call will be forwarded to somebody who's on call to answer your answer and speak with you if that's what's needed. Or you can leave a message if it's not an emergency. You can leave a message and someone will call you back the next day.
Right. So if it is an emergency, you know, we will talk. If somebody's calling and saying, is this an emergency? Sometimes people don't know that they're in a domestic violence situation. We were just talking about that in the car.
Right.
And so they have some questions that, you know, they might not recognize that there is a problem. And so we can either, you know, provide emotional support, or if there is a reason to, call the mobile crisis unit and kind of get them somebody out there on the ground, that's what we'll do. Or, you know, 911, you know, safety being the first step, you know, is making sure everybody's safe.
What is the website that you guys have besides the phone number? You guys have a website of sorts, or?
It's mhacg.org.
Yes. Correct.
Is our website.
Okay.
And the Reach Center, we have two locations. We have a location in Catskill at 371 Main Street, and that number is 518-943-4482. And our location in Hudson is at 713 Union Street, and that's 518-828-4619. And that's also the number to call to register for Seeking Safety. The group is free, but we do ask that you call to register so we just sort of know who's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking Safety meets on Monday nights from 5 to 6. And again, the number to call to register is 518-828-4619. And if you ask to speak to Adam at extension 346,
yep.
Or you could leave a message on my extension, which is 209.
Okay. And this is an 8-week program, is that correct?
Well, correct. We're going to extend it throughout the year. So we're going to be running 8-week cycles throughout the whole year.
Okay.
So it'll be available. And, you know, if it's something that the community responds to and wants us to continue, we'll be happy to do that.
Right.
And it isn't necessary that, like, we started last night
right.
on our next 8-week cycle. But if people are interested, they're totally welcome to come next week.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth and so on. It goes
yes.
on again and again.
It,
so
yes.
we can go with that. But I think you guys have some great tools that you're offering people. And I think that it's a great benefit to the community, Columbia and Greene counties, to have you guys offering this to the counties. Is there anything else you guys want to add or talk about that you wanted to get out there that was a concern? Or
well, I think we also have to mention that in addition to the Reach Center, we also have the Child Advocacy Center, which really specifically works with children who have suffered abuse of different kinds, or perhaps are victim of crime, or perhaps somebody in their family has been a victim and they're affected. And the Child Advocacy Center, there's one in Cairo and there's one in Hudson.
Oh, yeah, let's definitely. The Child Advocacy Center, what are some things that are offered through there that people would like to know?
Well, we have trauma-focused art therapists, and we have advocates and other counselors that work with the children and the families. And the other thing, you know, you said before that families are affected, which is very true, and sometimes when a child is experiencing difficulties for whatever the situation is, and perhaps we might have a referral from the school for the child, sometimes also working with a parent, even though they're not the identified person, can really help, because we can help the parent help their child and help them deal with the situation where their child is having a lot of difficulty.
Which I think is so important, because when a child is dealing with trauma or loss or what the whole plethora of reasons why, getting some type of counseling really is the difference between the child being productive or being healthy, for most part, versus not getting any counseling or treatment or help. They can go through the trauma, but without some type of help to get them through that, they can really be stifled at that, basically that age, or in so many different emotional
right.
ways.
Right, and you're talking about the developmental age, and I think it's really important for people to remember or to know that particularly young children, when they're dealing with trauma or grief or, you know, any crisis in their lives, they're not necessarily wanting to talk about it. They may be acting out and they may be exhibiting behavioral issues which may generate a referral. And then the adults in their life say, oh, well, they're not talking about it. Well, they may not have the developmental ability to talk about it. That's why art therapy or expressive therapies can really help. And that's also why working with the parents can help. Because you can help the parent understand that there are developmental milestones where children are able to cope with what's happened to them. And from my work in grief, you know, sometimes a young child, they're not going to sit there and talk about how their daddy died. They might draw pictures, and they might talk about something else. They might feel angry, and they might want to talk about that or express it in some way. And then maybe 10 years from now, they may be more able to cope with it or cope with it in a different way. And sometimes I might get a client at the Reach Center where that is the situation, where they're now 10 years past the death of a parent, and it's really coming up now. And that's actually appropriate from a developmental perspective.
Right, and when you say express themselves without the proper explanation or dealing with the child or them being able to learn, their expressing could often be in a very negative way.
It certainly can appear that way. And this is also why we have these wonderful trauma-focused art therapists, because I'm not a trained art therapist, but I do use expressive therapies. So I might have a young client, you know, do some drawing, and I look at it and I see one thing. I mean, I'm really good at reading body language, but I'm not very good at reading art. But I can take it to my colleagues and they can say, oh, well, I see this and this. And,
right,
and
right,
you know,
right.
So it's really helpful. That's one of the wonderful things about our work together, is that mm-hmm. we really work as a team, and we really help each other and, you know, dialogue. Well, you know, this happened and this person said that, and, you know, well, why don't you try this? You know, so that makes it really a good place to work professionally.
Right, right. Well, is there anything else you guys wanted to say, or we pretty much covered it at this point?
I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, I would only add that the Child Advocacy Center, you know, is specific to certain types of referrals through agencies and stuff like that. And it's a multidisciplinary team made up of a bunch of community members, you know, agencies and, you know, law enforcement and DSS and stuff like that. So,
right.
you know, we work together to try and see if their needs can't be met within that program, you know, then Reach tries to help out and see if we can meet their needs, the family's needs or the individual's needs in that way. Mm-hmm. But that's a kind of a closed circuit program for, you know, with for specific reasons, but we try to provide as much as we can for the families and the individuals who might have experienced something, or, you know, even just think that they might have. You know, there's definitely concerns a lot of people have when they see unsettling behaviors and stuff like that. So,
well, I think that's great that it seems as though you guys really do have an interconnection with different programs. So you guys work together as a business or nonprofit, actually, that you can deal with so many different situations. And I appreciate you guys coming in, like I said, braving through the weather. And I really think it's important to get out this information to people about the mental health, be it trauma or addiction or loss. I think that basically pretty much everybody in life is going to face at one point or another. So, yeah, Adam and Claudia, I really appreciate you showing up, and hopefully we'll have you in here again to discuss some more issues. I'd like to maybe touch a little bit more about your child services that you deal with, that we can maybe get a little more specific with that. But, yeah, so thank you for showing up, and we're going to play a little bit more music. It's the bottom of the hour, and so let's see what we got here.